Hello again, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, a program that is heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAleer, your host for this program. And on Studies in the Gospels, each week we examine the life of Christ as we find in the four Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At this time in our study, we have been looking at those events surrounding the crucifixion of Jesus. And today, we're going to consider as Jesus is pierced in the side. This is going to come from John chapter 19, verses 30 through 34. Now, I would remind you that this program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time, so that if you miss the program, you're able to catch it in the evening, and if you're not able to catch that, then you can also find it in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website within a day or so. So I hope that you avail yourself to that. Now, as I said, we're going to look at the piercing of the side of our Lord Jesus in John chapter 19. So let's go to verse 30 and notice verses 30 through 34, but we're going to focus in mostly on verse 34. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. So now let's consider as Jesus' side is pierced. We return now to those final scenes of the cross. Jesus reaches the end of the pain and the suffering of the cross. And Jesus yields his spirit and breathes his last. Go back to verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on hyssop, and put it to his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Jesus had accomplished everything, and his work was done. Jesus said, "I thirst." Apparently, there was a vessel close at hand that was filled with sour wine or vinegar. And one filled a sponge full of the sour wine and placed it on a reed to give him. Brother Robert Taylor Jr. noted that those reeds grew to about 3 feet in length. If they could reach his mouth with that, then he was not crucified very far above the ground, as we might tend to want to think. We tend to think that he was lifted up very high, but consider the extra torture that it would be upon Jesus with his feet so close to the ground. Relief just out of his reach. Truly an extra cruelty, if that be the case. In verse 30, we saw that Jesus bowed his head and yielded up his spirit in death. The scripture reveals these events to be on Friday, the day before the Sabbath. Notice verse 31. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. We see the haste of the Jewish leaders and the ultimate irony here. They were in a hurry to prepare for worship now that they had killed the very Son of God. Reflect on that for a moment. To accommodate the Jews, Pilate would order their legs be broken to help speed up the process for the Jews. By breaking their legs, it would keep them from being able to lift up in order to breathe. Verse 32. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. So they came to break their legs, and the two thieves with Jesus had their legs broken by the soldiers. However, they found Jesus already dead, and thus there was no need to break the legs of Jesus. The bodies would need to be taken down from the crosses and prepared for burial before sundown on Friday in order to avoid the breaking of the Sabbath. Now it is important to note that the bones of Jesus not being broken was very important because it was the fulfillment of the Old Testament writings. Jesus, the Lamb of God, could not have his bones broken. Consider Exodus chapter 12 and verse 46. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside the home, nor shall you break one of its bones. Of course, here in reference to the sacrificial lamb. The sacrificial lamb would not have its legs broken for the Passover. We find further evidence for this in Numbers chapter 9 and verse 12. They shall leave none of it until morning, nor break one of its bones, according to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it. And now, notice 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Jesus Christ is our Passover, and not a bone of his was broken. In verse 34 in our text, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. One of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. This would indicate a deep and severe cut with a spear. The scripture reveals to us that immediately blood and water came forth from the side of Jesus. That precious blood, which was shed for many, that precious blood which flowed in both directions in time to wash away the sin of all those who believe and live in obedience. Reflect back to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Then they will look on me whom they pierced. Yes, they will mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and grieves for him as one grieves for a firstborn. Indeed, they would now look upon the one whom they had illegally arrested, illegally tried, illegally beaten, illegally scourged to the point of being virtually unrecognizable. They mocked him, they humiliated him, and now they had killed him. Now they would look upon him. And so their evil had been done. Our Lord and Savior, now dead upon the cross. If the Lord wills and we're able to be together next week, we are going to consider the burial of the Lord. I hope that you'll join me. But do not despair, for there is hope because he is risen. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and be posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.